What's good, good people? Happy Sunday to you. Yes, it's Conker Jones. I'm coming at you with a New Egypt Worship Experience episode again. 2 weeks in a row, to God be the glory. And you see the title. But before we jump into the title on what really matters to God, I know last week you heard me say I'm going to use my real name, C.W. Comer, Charles Comer, but for the sake of some of the things that may be talked about on this podcast, and for the sake of my career until this pays the bills, I'm going under the nom de plume, or whatever you want to call it. I'm going under the alias Conker Jones for this and for the Comfort Zone podcast. That way, there'll be some separation between my business world and my personal world. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to ride it out with Conker Jones from now on, but I hope you have enjoyed the week. I hope you have gotten some prayer in and gotten in closer contact with your spirit. You know, this whole entire week I've been thinking about the message that I put out there about getting closer to God. I've been listening to messages from my friends. I've been thinking about some of the conversations that I've had with my friends about what really matters to God. And it just leads me to that question, which is what really matters to God. Now, this will be more so of an inquiry. I used to know how to pronounce that properly, but this would be more so me asking questions or saying things that I would like response and answers to than it is me trying to sit up here and say this is how it should be. You know, a lot of it does come from my own reservations against what I see going on in a lot of ministries. And I think what saddens me is that the last pastor I had a conversation with is that you have all these pastors out here who sit up here and think they're doing something different, that they're preaching and teaching a different word, but they're not. You know, you have all these pastors out here who think they're going against the grain or bringing forth the new world or the new evolution of people who believe in God and have that faith in that mindset of God, and they're not. You know what I'm saying? I'm not knocking church. It's just church ain't for me, because I'm not on the same page with how people define assemblies of God's people, or how people define church, how people define it, how people execute ministry. I'm not on the same page with a lot of people. I pray every day. I give when I need to give. I'm always asking for God's guidance. Anytime I'm willing to, any opportunity that I have to have a conversation with anyone about God, I have that conversation freely and openly. There's never no reservations about it. If I feel like God wants me to reach out to somebody and make sure they're okay, then that's what I do. If somebody may need a word, I'll give them that word. If somebody pops up in my mind and I pray and I feel like I need to pray for them, I pray for them. I do everything that is required as being a member of these congregations and everything, but I just don't believe in how the congregations are set up. Some of it you can consider as conspiracy theory, but a lot of it is just, I want to say common sense, but obviously not. Let me tell you what I think, and I may go off on a tangent here. What I believe is that you have people who have been trained into doing something a certain way for so long that that's the only way they can consider it to ever mean that it could get done. You know, like pastors and preachers have to go through all types of approvals of their senior pastors and senior preachers before they can really step out and share their testimony, share their word, or even do anything with God. And most of the time, a lot of these pastors and preachers don't necessarily have the calling or the anointing to be a pastor or a preacher. That's just what they want. It's not what God wants. It's just what they want. They consider that to be the best way with them serving God. And for the longest, I want to say I did too, But truth be told, I fear ever having to step in a pulpit. And it's not for taking on the responsibility that I had to take on, because as I've proven to myself with my kids and me just being who I naturally am, I do everything I can to tell my kids, like, y'all gonna have to do this on your own. You're gonna have to figure this out for yourself. You can't let nobody motivate you, and you can't let nobody discourage you. You have to build that self up in yourself. You know what I'm saying? It has to be you. It has to begin and end with you. Don't let anybody influence you out of doing something, just like don't let anybody talk you into doing something, positive or negative. Even though some people may disagree with that, positive or negative, I've been teaching my kids ever since they've been born that it has to be your choice. You need to make up your mind that's what you want to do. And when you make up your mind that's what you want to do, you grind it out. But you make sure you consider the consequences. You make sure you consider the good and the bad that could come with doing this, because nothing that you do is going to be all good. That's what I've been telling my kids since they were young. And even though a lot of men won't agree, I've given my kids examples of problems with friendships, of problems with relationships, with problems with family. I'll talk to them about stuff that I'm going through and let them know how I handle it right, how I may have handled it wrong. I've let them know the consequences of certain things that I've done, even though I knew that what I did was right. And I'm doing this all so they will know how to navigate through life. You know, I don't feel like I'm wrong for that. There's nothing inside of me that makes me feel like I'm wrong for that. But it's even, I kind of like really, really got off track when I'm pretty passionate about the things that I teach my kids. So let me start summing it back up. Like, even with my kids, when it comes to God, I don't force God upon them. I just teach them how God can be useful, and how keeping an open communication with God can be useful and everything like that. And I teach them and talk to them all the time about having a personal relationship with God and open themselves up enough to know when God's speaking to them and when God's telling them to do something, to understand that God ain't going to take all their problems away, but God will guide you through those problems. You know, that's what I teach my kids. I teach my kids how to really have a real relationship with God through a lot of things that I've gone through, and just through a lot of conversations that they'll come have with me too. You know, but anyway, that's the church doesn't preach that enough. And let me say it like this. I mean, what I'm really trying to say is their actions don't match up with their words. You know, sometimes out of their mouths, yes, they'll preach independence, they'll preach, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. But truth be told, pastors are hyper-dependent on members of their congregation in order for them to even feel sufficient, you know. And I guess that's the thing that I don't get. That's the thing that has me wanting to stay away, because on one end, you have this man or woman of God looking at themselves as they are above the church, and they'll, again, out of their mouths, they'll talk about being independent in the kingdom, but their actions show nothing but desperation to me. Their actions show nothing but doing everything they can to make sure that they can gain members in their congregation and keep members in their congregation. That independence and being able to do it out there on your own is not talked about. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about this, and I'm bringing this up because when they think about when I think about and I ask God the question all the time, God, what really matters to you? What really matters to you? A lot of stuff that we see in these churches don't matter to God. They matter to us. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these extended services, these extended praises and worships and everything like that, a lot of things that we see in church matter more to us than they matter to God. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, if that's what tickles your fancy, cool, I'm glad it does. But I just don't, there's nothing from all the studying and the research and prayer and meditation that I do on my own that says that God really cares about all the vanity and showboating and everything that we see in these ministries. You know, I've lost friendships over the fact that people walk in such vanity and that they claim to know of God, but don't speak about God like they should speak about God. They speak about their pastor like they should speak about God. And all right, so we're finna go completely off topic, and this may go over 30 minutes, but I really want to dig into this because this is where my heart is, and me constantly looking deeper into this, hoping that I find answers for myself as well as other people. It's what keeps me connected to God. There is a major disconnect in the church, and there's been a major disconnect in the church for a very long time. And the problem is with a lot of people in the pulpit. The problem is a lot of people in the pulpit walk around as if they are better than the members of their congregation. And when truth be told, it's the exact opposite. They are dependent on their congregation. Nobody in that pulpit would be worth it if it weren't for the members of that congregation. And I'm not saying that, I'm saying it like this. Taking upon a mantle of being a pastor, preacher, apostle, reverend, deacon, prophet, evangelist, whatever you want to label yourself, which I don't even think God cares about that, like it's put out here today. Whatever you want to label yourself, once you take upon that mantle, you take upon a mantle of being a different type of servant. You know what I'm saying? You don't take upon a mantle for the title. You take upon a mantle for the work that comes with it. And that's what upsets me about a lot of ministries and why I'd rather die trying to find God on my own than join a ministry that don't have it. Whatever the leader of that ministry is, head ain't where my head is at. And my head ain't in all the showboating and everything. Now, granted, you may not consider it showboating. That's cool. But my spirit ain't where your spirit at, brother. And I think that's something that we finally need to accept, is that my spirit ain't where a lot of people's spirits are at. Like, there's a purity to the walk that I've had. Has it been tougher? Yes. It's been extremely tough to try to take this walk alone. But then again, I've never been alone. Anytime I needed someone, God would send someone. Anytime I needed to do work, God would send me to do work. My prayers every day is, God, send me to bless somebody. Well, if I need a blessing, send somebody to bless me. Send a word to me, Father God. Well, if I could give a word to somebody, let me give a word to somebody. And not once has God not answered that prayer, to where I always get a word. I always get a blessing. I'm always able to bless somebody else. I'm always able to have that testimony, or to break it down like this, to have those moments of assembly, to where I'm not forsaking the assemblies of God's people. As a matter of fact, I'm going in different places and everything to find it. Now, let me backtrack a little bit when I told you that I used to think the same way. Because I've heard my whole life that I'm destined to be a preacher. I'm destined to be in the pulpit. I'm destined to have a peculiar ministry. But then about a couple of weeks ago, I realized that my peculiar ministry may have absolutely nothing to do with me being in a pulpit. You know what I'm saying? And even if I were to become a part of somebody else's ministry, we have to be in perfect alignment with what matters the most. You know what I'm saying? Because it ain't going to be me that matters, and it's not going to be them that matters, but it's going to be doing the work of God without ego and without our own personal agendas in the way. I know it's tough to do something for God without letting your agenda or your own personal endeavors get involved. But you need people around you that will correct you on that, to let you know when God is in the midst or when you're using God to your advantage. Nevertheless, now I know my ministry doesn't have to be a ministry to where I'm in everybody's face, or you see my name and my face on all the flyers and billboards and everything for this ministry. You know what I'm saying? My name doesn't have to have pastor in front of it. You don't have to call me a preacher. I don't need to hear apostle. I don't need to hear prophet. Matter of fact, I don't want any title at all. My name, for the sake of me not doing this full time, or for the sake of me not being independent, my name is Conker Jones. And that's all you need to know. Announce me as. You want to call me Mr. Jones because I am up there in age, and it's something when I finally realize that, you know. You want to call me Mr. Jones, cool. You want to call me Conker, cool. Just don't call me Mr. Conker because that sounds weird. You know what I'm saying? That's something I want my wife to call me one day. You know what I'm saying? But just don't call me Mr. Conker because it sounds weird. But you want to call me Conker, you want to call me CJ, you want to call me Mr. Jones, or you just want to call me Jones, I'm okay with that because I'm no better than you. You know what I'm saying? You're no better than me. But I'm so sick and tired of seeing it. I'm so sick and tired of seeing it. These people, it hurts me to my heart because they say the right things. When you hear them talk, they talk humility, but they don't walk humility. And that constantly leads me to question God all the time. What really matters to you? Why is it that people, I'll say it just as flat as I can, why is it that I'm here? I don't believe in churches like they're set up today. I don't believe in Assemblies of God's people like they're set up today. But I know I have a connection with you. And I know you speak to me. I know you send me to deal with people and to speak to people. Why is it that I'm walking this path on my own? And I know you talk to me. I feel your spirit. And when I feel your spirit, that's when I absolutely know it's you. Why is it that I can determine the difference most of the time, not all the time, because I'm not perfect? Why is it that most of the time I know when it's you and when it's me? But I see these pastors out here. I see these pastors pretending like they got it all together and they don't. Yet somehow they still seem blessed. Like good things are still coming their way that they claim is unexpected. And it saddens me because their walk is a lot different than their talk. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about personal relationships I've had with pastors, and it's always the same thing. They talk a good game, but they don't live up to the game that they talk. You know, that's what has me afraid to even step in a pulpit. It's because I don't want to be another pastor who doesn't live up to the game that I talk. And it's not necessarily about me being perfect, but it's about me having enough knowledge of myself and enough knowledge of who God is to know that if you ask me to do something, I can sit up here and honestly say, no, don't count on me for that. Or to know that I can apologize to you. No, that's getting personal. But it's mainly how I've seen a lot of pastors talk to members of their congregations, getting them all hyped up and excited. And it reminds me of my last experience that I had with this auto mechanic shop. With the experiences I've had of joining a couple of ministries, reminds me of the experience I had with this auto mechanic shop. Recently, I put my vehicle in the shop to get fixed. I tried fixing it myself. It didn't work. I had a friend of mine help me try fixing it. It didn't work. Nobody could figure out what was wrong with it. So I put it in one of the best shops, according to the reviews online, in my area. Now, personally, they took a little bit too long to call the first time because I dropped it off Monday. They didn't call me till late Tuesday to tell me what the problem is, but they had to look at it. It's a leaking issue. Nobody can figure out what's wrong with it. Okay, maybe you need time. So they called me Tuesday, tell me what's wrong with it. I pick it up. They tell me they'll call me when they fix it. And they tell me they fix it. I pick it up Friday. It took me a week to get my car back. They called and they reached out to me as necessary when they knew they had money coming in. Yet, when I took my vehicle back to them, and I realized I picked my vehicle up on Friday, Sunday night, I dropped my vehicle back off up there for them to look at it early Monday morning, and because it was still doing the same thing. They didn't fix the overheating issue. And I'm sorry, it wasn't a leak issue, it was an overheating issue. They didn't fix the overheating issue with my vehicle like they said they did. So I took it back, you know, and I left a note telling them what was going on. And I'm telling them, please take a look at this again, contact me and let me know, blah, blah, blah. 3 days go by, I don't hear anything from them. I don't hear anything. They ran all the gas out of my vehicle. But, you know, 3 days go by, I don't hear anything from them. And every time I drove by their place, I see my vehicle sitting in the back where they locked the vehicles at so nobody can come get them at night. So I call them Thursday morning. I tell them, hey, look, just don't worry about it even working on it no more, because either one or two things have happened. You either haven't looked at my vehicle yet, or you haven't, or you can't figure out what's wrong with it. Go pick up my vehicle. Now, I'm being a little petty about saying this because I don't need to share this, honestly. But I go pick up my vehicle, and the initial person who was working on my vehicle couldn't even come say anything to me. Didn't say anything to me. Didn't apologize at all. Didn't say, sorry, we couldn't fix it. Offered no refund. And worst part about that is that I even sent them an email trying to find resolution because I'm working in a different city now. And I still haven't heard anything. It's been a whole nother week and I haven't heard anything. You know, so they were okay when I was new, when the issue that I had was something fresh or blah, blah, blah. But now that it's been a continuous issue and it's something that they haven't been able to solve, I get thrown to the side. And truth be told, that's what I see in a lot of ministries today. You know, you're more focused on the new people that you have coming in instead of the people that are there with you. And that's a problem that I have, is because you say everything you can to get that person in there. But then once that person gets in there, your only focus is the next new person that you want to get in there, the next new person that you want to walk through those doors. And that's not ministry. You know what I'm saying? Nothing about that is ministry. Yeah, you got your people who you count on. And I understand you are trying to build and you are trying to grow. But I believe wholeheartedly that you should take care of who's already there. And oftentimes, what I see and have seen a lot of men and women of the church do, a lot of pastors and preachers do, is focus on who may be interested in joining their church. And as soon as they join, it's a completely different story. You know what I'm saying? It's not a numbers game when it comes to saving people, but a lot of these preachers talk like it does. They walk like it does. Well, they don't talk like it does. Like I said, they talk a good game, but their walk, their actions, which speaks louder than their voice, shows something different. You're not worried about really delivering people. You just want to fill up your church. You just want to fill up your seats. How is that God? That can't be God. And if that is God, that ain't a God I want to serve. I don't want to serve a God who's more concerned with how many people are in my congregation than a God who's concerned with how many people are coming through my congregation. And let me break it down like this. When I say in my congregation versus coming through my congregation, I don't want you to have to stay with me. You know what I'm saying? Now, yeah, we finna go way over 30 minutes with this because I do want to touch on that. I don't want you to have to stay with me, though. And I need to break this down, what I mean when I say I don't want you to have to stay with me. It means there's something that I need to teach you, and that's why you're with me. Or there's something that you need to teach me, and that's why I'm with you. But that should only be for a season. At some point, you should outgrow what I have to show you or what I have to teach you. At some point, you should move on to the next chapter. There shouldn't be members of your church, you know what I'm saying, who haven't fully grown into their relationships and roles with God. And I see that a whole lot, too. You have a lot of people who don't even understand how to really talk to God, so they lean in on the pastor way too much. You have a lot of people who don't really understand how to connect with God, so they lean in on the pastor way too much. They don't. Okay. Now, if you haven't heard me talk about this, you're going to hear me talk about this, period. When I talk about the men of valor, just open up your Bible and read David as it talks about his men of valor. His men of valor did some amazing things. And in today's time, with some of the amazing things those men of valor did, one of them would have tried David. But I asked God a question. I kept asking God, why didn't they try David? You know what I'm saying? Why did you have people in David's army that were stronger than him that didn't try David to be king, which they very well could have? And in its simplest form of the way God showed it to me is that all of these people had their own relationships down with God first. And that's where I feel like a lot of pastors get it wrong at, is you're not teaching these people how to have their own relationship with God first. You're talking to them about it, but you ain't teaching them. Because if you teach them, then that means that they may not need you anymore. And I think it's the crazy part about it is, as I said in the beginning of this podcast, I think people have been doing something for so long that they don't think there's any other way to do it. And this is one of those things to where I feel like people don't see any other way to do it than to build churches the way they are normally built. And truth be told, I don't think any of that matters to God. Now, this is my perspective. I could be dead wrong. This ain't God saying this, but this is something that I believe that allows me, that lets me believe in God more. You know what I'm saying? It increased my faith when I started accepting my beliefs to where I don't believe God cares about how many people are in your ministry. How many people are actually saved? How many people are actually delivered? How many people are independent enough to be able to survive on a world without that pastor, without that preacher, without that apostle or whoever? How many people in your congregation can do that? Or are most of them just siphoning energy from the pastors? Are most of them siphoning energy from these preachers? That's the problem I have, is that there's just no... I just haven't seen a real preacher in a very long time who's more concerned with educating people and graduating people than how many people they have in their class. A lot of them seem to be too concerned with how many people they have in their class rather than how many people they've graduated. And that's the problem that I have with me ever deciding to take that mantle. But then again, like I said, I don't have to be in a pulpit to do God's work. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to be on somebody's praise team to do God's work. I don't have to belong to somebody's ministry to do God's work. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, go ye out into the world and spread my gospel. And a lot of people forget that. We forget that we can spread the gospel any and everywhere. As a matter of fact, Jesus went to people. He ain't asked people to come to him. He went there. He went where they were. He sent messengers and say, come to me. There's a disconnect in the church. And I'm tired of acting like it's not. I've been feeling like this. I'm 42 years old. I'll be 43 in a couple of months. But I've been feeling like this since like the ages of 16, 17 years old. Going on almost 30 years. Truth be told, I've known my destiny has something to do with this literally for 30 years come my birthday. 30 years I've been feeling like this, and I can't shake it. I tried to, so I'm no longer denying this. There's something missing from the church. There's another way to get to God. There's a more holy way to where people will actually truly be able to walk in his grace and in his glory and not just hope that they do. There's a different type of breed coming up now, and I am in that breed coming up, and I'm trying to build my kids up in that breed coming up to where I ain't looking like I'm saved. I ain't looking like a man or woman of God. I'm actually a man and woman of God. I don't care about going into church and getting praise on and everything like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't care about that. That's not what concerns me. That's not what builds up my passion about God. You know what I'm saying? You can do your church prayer. You do your praise dances all you want. You can have your shout sessions and everything that you want to call it, however you want to break it down. Enjoy yourself. If that's what you believe really gets you closer to God, then do that. I have no doubt that God will find a way to use you. But as for me, nah. I don't believe that. I think everything that we see in these churches today is all for show. And it's more so for man wanting God to fit in the box that they want God to fit in, rather than them being open to what God can truly do. That's how I really truly feel about what I see going on. And I know this was supposed to be about what really matters to God, but truth be told, none of us really know. You know, we do our best. We do our best to try to figure out what really matters to God. But in a nutshell, we're all hoping and we're all wishing that one day when we get a chance to stand in front of God, God will say, "Well done." And that's really all my path is about. Again, if it works for you, it works for you. But it's just not what works for me. And from some other conversations that I have, it's starting not to work for a whole lot of other people too. I understand having a place to where people can go and people can assemble, to where you can get grouped up and have praise sessions and have prayer sessions and everything like that. But it's not like that in the church. These sessions that we have in the church are more awesome, or more so just about one man or one woman or the praise team, and then one man and one woman getting all the glory more than it is than a congregational praise. You know what I'm saying? And it hurts me to my heart that it's like that. It hurts me to my heart that people are constantly building churches. People are building new ministries. People are in these old ministries trying to make them better or revive ministries that are falling apart, doing the exact same thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not... Something's wrong. Something's wrong with that to me. You know what I'm saying? There's a whole lot more out there to God than going to church during the prime time hours every Sunday. There's a whole lot more out there to God than having to have somebody tell you to jump and shout for you to get your blessings once or twice a week. It's a whole lot more out there to God than that. It's a whole lot more out there to God than the pastor telling telling the band to start playing some worship music and start preaching to the worship music, and they call that the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Or that they feel the Holy Ghost. How do you feel the Holy Ghost when you're trying to control it? You can't control these things. Yet, we believe that's how a church is supposed to be. And we think that matters to God. I don't. It's a lot of other people that don't. So I'm going to see if I can reach the people out there who don't agree with what's going on in the church just like I don't, because it seems too vain. You know what I'm saying? It seems too showboating. It don't seem like real works of God. It seems like real works of people who want to be God, not real works of people who are letting God use them. You know, that's really about all I can say. I want to talk more about this, but truth be told, I've went past 30 minutes and I didn't want to do that. Even though I said I was, I still try to keep it to a certain point. And this is more so me speaking from a poet place to where I don't want you to just come to me with what you think should be said. I want you to actually really think and pray about this. And we'll see if God can really show both of us something. Because I am looking for some type of feedback on why is everything set up like that, when a lot of it don't seem like God. or it doesn't seem like God anymore. Maybe it's been too commercialized. I don't know. Maybe you got so many people out here doing it that it's just making everybody numb to the fact that this person say God said this and that person says God said that. What do you do in situations to where one person comes to you and say, God told me this about you, and then somebody else comes and tells you something that conflicts what the first person said, but they both said God said it. If you really want me to break it down, the problem that I have with a lot of people is, as I stated earlier, they don't know the difference between God and themselves, and they'll have their own thoughts inside of their minds that makes them, and because it's a good idea, or because it gives them a good feeling, they automatically think it's God. That's the main problem that I have. And that's why I'm going to continue on my journey, and I'm going to dig deeper into it and focus more on finding out what God really wants, what God really desires, what really matters to God for all of us as individuals, because it's not what we see in these churches today. God cannot be that dumb to excuse every bad thing that people do just because you shout a little bit, or just because you put on your Sunday's best. I'd rather die and go to hell trying to find a better God and missing the mark than to believe all these pastors out here who tell me that joining their ministries is a way for me to get there. And that's the end of this. Now you know what real journey I'm on. I hope you walk with me, but only if you really truly believe the same thing. If you're not sure, pray. And you keep praying until you know God gives you an answer. How will you know when God gives you an answer? It's not something that I can put into words. I can't tell you what sign you will see. I can't tell you what type of voice you will hear. I can't tell you how many days will go by, how many times you have to hear it. I understand people say one to plant, one to water, one to increase. But I can't even say that. The only thing I can sit up here and tell you, when I say pray and keep praying until you know God has answered you, is when it hits you, it'll hit you. And you know you won't have to pray about that anymore. But it's your boy Conker Jones coming at you with The Comfort Zone Presents, the New Egypt Worship Experience. Again, I'm still going to separate these two, just not right now. But I'm going to come at you this week with some words of wisdom and some words of hope, hopefully for all of us. But again, like I told you, I like talking about some of the petty stuff in the world too. So on the Thursday episode coming up, you can expect that, because it's just some things going on. You know what I'm saying? We still going to keep it faithful. We still going to keep it moving. We still going to keep praying and keep believing. But I want you to get your own self right with God before you tell anybody, before you let anybody else get yourself right with God. I want you to become a man or a woman of valor to where when you go somewhere to somebody's ministry, you know God sent you there. And to where if that pastor ever fell off, you will still be able to keep going. Don't think I don't love you. I do. I just want better for you, just like I want better for me. Peace.